Boy, you know, if you can keep up with Mildred, I tell you, you've accomplished much because she is very active. Right, Doreen? Right, Ellen? Yeah, it's hard to get a hold of her. She's so busy. 94, that's great. We've been walking through a series following Jesus faithfully. It's really a refresher course in who we are with God. And today we're gonna look at liking to love Jesus. And I hope you like me by the end of this. Liking to love Jesus. Reminds me of a story. Minister was speaking to a Sunday school class about the things money can't buy. He said, "It can't buy laughter, and it can't buy love," he told them. And he wanted to drive his point home. I mean, you know, most pastors want to do that. And so he was doing that to these children. He said, "What would you do if I offered you $1,000 not to love your mother and father?" And there was silence among the children. And finally, a small voice at the back from little Johnny asked, "How much would you give me not to love my big sister?" Boy, if we as Christians could remember, if we could place in our history books the pages of heaven's love, life would take on greater hope and meaning than we have right now. Do you know that? The love of heaven. If you notice it around you. How many of you know what tomorrow is? Good. I'm glad you said that, because there's some of the fellows over here going, "It's Monday. What's he? What's going on, eh?" And you know what's Monday? Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and I wore red today. Just, do I look good? That was Mildred. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Sorry, Mildred. I was just. I believe that was somewhere over on this side.
Wasn't it your wife?
Oh. Oh, this is great. Now I'm probably as red as my shirt. I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I got to tell you, I walked through a lot of this. I was actually in Isaiah, and then I was jumping to Jeremiah, and then I was over into Song of Solomon, and I thought, oh no. So we're into 1 Peter chapter 4. It's a great passage of scripture. And I'm actually going to read to you a good chunk of it, because I want you to just get a feel for this. I'm going to read actually to the end of, you'll see. I'll stop when I think it's appropriate. 1 Peter chapter 4. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in a debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you." That means the world wants you to do what they're doing. "But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Not to man, not to woman here, but to God. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. Now listen, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's a lot. That's a lot. But if you want to like loving Jesus, you like loving Jesus when there is meaning to your love. When there's meaning to your love. When you live a prayerful life. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. I'm sure they think that in Egypt some way. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. See, we need it clear. Have in mind right thoughts of who really is in control so we can have self-control in how we even speak or think. If we have that, then above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. The command penned here in 1 Peter is above all. Above money, above material goods, above your own rights, above what you think is right, above everything and anything, love each other deeply. It doesn't say if you want to. It says love each other. Not if you feel like it. Love each other deeply. Such meaning, such purpose in loving. But you can't do it unless your mind is clear and you're self-controlled, because you won't get your way if you love with this kind of love. You won't get your way all the time. See, God understands that the more you love with this kind of love, the more love you've got to love. If your desire is to deepen your love for God, then your prayer needs to be, God, help me to love others in a deep way. You cannot love others deeply without loving God deeply. There's no way to stretch that. There's no way to run around that. I love the way the Message Bible puts this verse. And it starts at verse 7. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Because, boy, if you're praying, you're thinking about God. You're not thinking about, well, I want this, and I want that, and this person better change so that I feel better about who I am. The Message Bible goes on and says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. Stay wide awake in prayer. Love makes up for practically anything. Don't some of the things that you see in the world today grieve you? I mean, we were watching in the office the other day. We celebrated when it seemed like there was a rejoicing moment that came when the president stepped down. We were grieving through the process of watching that. I mean, I find myself saying to God, you know, there's good family, like we say, these are good family shows now on TV. And, you know, we were talking the other day in the office, and someone, I won't mention her name, but she said, I remember going to an R-rated movie, and it was my first R-rated movie. It was Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta. You know, now I don't even know if that would list PG. I didn't say your name, Kate, so you're okay. You know, I want to say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us, God, for letting things get to this point where we really don't care anymore when someone's hurting. See, I believe the enemy has a pushback going on in our world today, a pushback to harden people's hearts towards what's evil. We just don't seem to care anymore. It doesn't seem to faze us. We behave how we like. We call that being ourselves. We treat people horribly. We call that, well, I was honest. We see stuff on the news that's going on. It's always bad stuff, and it's conditioning us. In the beginning, it's shocking. We go, oh, and then pretty soon it's like, oh, Egypt? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, there's something going on there. Because we see so much of it, we become conditioned to the pain and the hurt around us, the evil that goes on around us. We have to fight against that. We have to fight against losing that deep grieving when someone's hurting over not only your own sins, but sins of the world. We need to just stop running full speed ahead in the things of the world, just being all caught up in our need and what we want and what we're praying for, what we're believing God for. God wants us to know that what he's trying to do in this world is a lot deeper than just us. It's a lot broader than us. God wants us to understand his love brings a meaning beyond our understanding. I believe we need to pray that we need to clear our minds and be self-controlled so that our hearts are tender towards not just God, but others. We need to pray, Lord, tenderize my heart. Soften me. Touch me with the feelings of what people are going through, God. That's why the Love One Another Project is so great. Because it's ideas for you. It's ways in which you can actually be the arms and feet of Jesus. That's a great vision, people. Touching people where they hurt. When you look at a person who's poor, do you say, oh, be warm and be filled and may you be happy? Praise God. Have faith. And walk away and feel nothing. See somebody that has cancer. I don't want to give them some quick spiritual answer. Praise God, he knows what you're going through. I want to feel for their heart and their pain. It scares me when I don't feel anything for people. It really does. Because something then is wrong inside of me spiritually when I don't feel anything for other people. It scares me when I can look at other people's misery and I don't feel anything, when it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. And that's when we need to get before God and say, God, clear my mind. Give me self-control, God. You better help me because I'm feeling some hardness come on my heart and I don't want to get used to this stuff anymore, God. Break my heart with what breaks your heart, oh God, so I can love people the way you love people, God. Let me grieve over what grieves you. Let me despise what you despise, God. That's a deeper kind of love. That's deeper than just superficial. I love you. I love, you know, you've heard me say this. A couple coming to my office, getting married. It's for you two. Listen to me. Just listen. Sorry, that's just to my son and my future daughter-in-law. They come in my office, sit down, they hold their hands. We're so happy. Life is so good. How are you going to make it in this world? Do you have a job? No. But we have love. We love each other. I love him, he loves me.
I love her, she loves me.
Seven months. Back in my office. I can't stand him. Do you know he plucks his nose hairs out right over the sink? He does, by the way, I'm just letting you know. No, he doesn't. You don't even have nose hairs in your ear. But anyway, really? And then all of a sudden, I can't stand this person. I can't. Because you're moving into a deeper kind of love. Love that understands people where they're hurting. Love that says it's going beyond my own desire and wants. And I'm placing myself in your situation so that I can understand where you're coming from. So I can understand what you're going through. And you like loving Jesus again. That's the meaning behind that love. Well, like loving Jesus, when there's mercy in our love, See, our love has meaning when we love with a deeper love, but our love, when it has mercy, it covers over a multitude of sins. Now, the word cover means does not stir up or broadcast sin. And I think that's funny because I think we're pretty good at broadcasting. Hey, how you doing there? I'm okay. I was at a party last night. Can I tell you about this? Yeah. I was at a party last night. Got drunk. I feel horrible today. I feel like I've just denied God and had to tell somebody about it. You're my Christian friend. And just wanted to let you know. Would you forgive me? Oh, yeah. You're forgiven. I don't need to forgive him, but you're forgiven. Yeah. You didn't hurt me. I understand where you're coming from. And yeah, you're forgiven. And I'll be praying for you. And thanks. I appreciate that. I really feel horrible about it. Yeah, it's okay. It's no problem. God forgives you. Okay. Thanks. Off he goes. And off I walk to the phone. Hey, did you hear? Yeah, he was at a party last night. Got stone drunk. Yeah, he feels really bad about it. Isn't that great? Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? I love telling this stuff. I love broadcasting other people's sin. It's so great for me to do this. Because I don't love him with mercy. My own self is in the way. Proverbs 10 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Love refuses to stir up strife. Instead of reminding people of their sins and using those sins against them, love understands that we're all sinners and we need a little bit of mercy. We need some grace. When we don't allow mercy to propel our love, we keep record of sins and our heart begins the process of hardening. Hardening. Let me tell you what hard-hearted looks like. A hard-hearted person holds grudges. A hard-hearted person keeps accounts for years. They can't forgive. They're judgmental. They're critical. And when they see people suffering, they almost rejoice. They have the attitude, well, they're a sinner. They deserve that. It's their own fault. God doesn't want us to be like that. And we sure hope he isn't when it comes to us because we don't deserve it either, the mercy he gives. God wants to say, but for the grace of God, go I. God wants us to pray for people. He wants us to pity people. He wants us to love people and say, oh, I understand. They're hurting. Hurting people hurt people. Did you know that? It's not easy to love someone who's hurt you. You start out by faith. You don't start out by feelings. You start out by faith. Believe when you start being good to a hard-hearted person, you don't get appreciation back. When you start being good to a hard-hearted person, you're not going to get anything in return for a long, long time. You're just going to have to love them strictly as unto the Lord in obedience to him. The Bible says that when you love your enemies, it's like heaping coals of fire upon their head. And I know you're all excited about that. It's kind of like, if I love them, they're going to get burned. But that's not what it means. Those coals of fire melt their hard heart. The love is the fire. Burning coals of love melts their hard heart. And so that's why 1 Peter 4:8 says, let your love be red hot, says the message. We need to have an on-fire, burning love that won't let us just sit and do nothing, that won't let us just say, well, you deserve that after the way you treated me. There are times in my life, and I don't know, maybe I'm alone here, but there are moments as a Christian, as a pastor, where I said, well, whatever they get, they deserve. God had nothing to do with that. In fact, I believe God just stepped back and said, oh, Devin, 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 Devin. My, my. Don't let your heart harden, Devin. Because it is. But the more God cut into my heart, man, God has changed me. Broken-hearted people. They cry. They show mercy and grace. And they love with a deep, meaningful love. Love softens a hard heart. You getting this? Yeah. Say, love softens a hard heart. And I can only get that love from Jesus. You see, and it doesn't happen just right away. It's dose after dose after dose. You got to keep it up and keep it up and keep it up. You got to keep on loving. But you can't do that till you clear your mind of what you want and be self-controlled in what you say and in what you do so that you can pray that you'll have the kind of love that overlooks a multitude of sin. We're going to watch a video, and we're going to close with this. So, Pastor Brandon, you can just... I don't know if we want to close with this song or not. No? You have something? We're going to watch this video, and then actually I'll close in prayer, and then you're free to go. But I want you to watch this video, and I want you to listen intently to the words, because it really is the sermon for this morning. It speaks louder than I do. Lips right now.
In my own little world, it hardly ever rains. I've never gone hungry, always felt safe. Some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population, me. I try to stay awake during Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. And I turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yeah, it's easy to do when it's population, me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose? I could be living right now. Outside my own little world. Ooh. Stopped at a red light, looked out my window. I saw cardboard signs that help this homeless widow. Above that sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by? I gave her some money that I drove on through. In my own little world, rich population. There's a bigger picture. What if I'm missing out? What if it's yours. Give me open hands and open doors. Put your light in my eyes and let me see that my own little world is not about me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now? I don't wanna miss what matters. I wanna be reaching out. Show me the greater purpose so I can start living right now. Outside my own little world. Ooh, my own little world. Yeah, yeah. My own little world. Ooh.
God, how many times have we walked past you in a sense as we've just become hardened to what's going on around us? So we've been focused on us, God, and we haven't seen the pain, we haven't felt the hurt. God, forgive us for those moments where it's just been population me. God, we love you. And we want to love like you love. Create within us, Lord, that heart. That heart that hurts with the hurting, that loves the unlovely. Lord, create within us a heart that is not about our own self, but rather clears our mind. Create self-control so that we can love even deeper and know you better. To your glory and honor, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you as you serve him this week.